Hey, what is up, Hoop Rips? Welcome back. Did you miss us? We missed you, all of our followers. We missed you, our devoted fans. We missed you dearly. I know Ryan kind of missed you. Mike clearly didn't. but here we are. season two of Hoop Rips. We're calling it season two. We had a little break. It's been about a month. It's not because we hate the pod. It's only because we love COD so much. That's it. But season two, we are here. We're going to bring it home through the finish of this NBA season. It's been a crazy NBA season. I think, to be honest, Ryan and I in particular got very caught up in March Madness and
yes.
Watching Ryan's UCLA Bruins make a Final Four run, which sadly was ended by Gonzaga. But we got very caught up in that. Our viewership of NBA honestly dwindled in the month of March. But nonetheless, we've been getting caught back up. Obviously, we're still watching our Blazers. So we are back. We're calling this Hoop Rip Season 2, which doesn't make sense because we had two seasons in one NBA season. But, you know, just roll with it. I'm cool if you're cool kind of thing. So here we are. We want to hear from you guys more. We want you to hit us up on social media, and we have a YouTube channel. I don't know. I think we still only have 10 followers. I don't think Mike's a subscriber yet, but
he unsubscribed. I think he unsubscribed. From what I've seen.
But always, my main man, Coach Ryan Abriel, is here. Ryan, how are you, man?
Hello. I'm good, man. And speaking of Coach, our season starts in about 3.5 weeks, so I'm really hyped to get back on the sidelines with the boys.
How's the team? Really, how's the team looking?
It's going to be an interesting year when it comes to our team. Last year's team was offense first, right? They love, you know, three and transition play. This year's team is going to be a little bit more defensive minded, which as a coach, you love that. You love guys who want to play defense. So I'm excited to kind of see that. We're going to be grinding out some dubs, low scoring games. It's going to come down to, you know, very similar basketball as you see with UCLA, right? It's, you know, who's going to take care of the ball and make the least amount of mistakes in crunch time.
Yep. You got to find your Johnny Juzang.
I know. God forbid he goes pro. That would be a huge blow.
Oh man. It'd be nice if he came back. So who are you for sure losing from UCLA?
Well, we have our senior who was like a preseason all conference, you know, first team, Chris Smith. He was ACL against Utah early in the season. And so, but because of the NCAA, they're allowing guys to have an extra year of eligibility that won't go against the school scholarship limit for that next season. So he could come back as a fifth year senior. He was our best player 2 years ago, would have been our best player this year. So if he comes back, that's interesting, but at the same time, like, that just creates a logjam for minutes. And it's common everywhere. When you have a loaded team, it's great. But the downside is you got to find room on the floor for everybody. Cause everybody, I think, plays a specific role. So that's going to be a bit tricky. Yeah. But I do hope he comes back. Cause I think we'll be a top five team all year if he does.
Yeah. I think I always love the way too early predictions or rankings or whatever. I think UCLA was, I think top three, maybe even in the one that
you
I
were
saw from
two ESPN. And ESPN, yeah. And yeah. Number one in CBS, which is insane.
Damn. So that's crazy. But the minutes thing's real. I remember in college, my coach at the beginning of every season would always do this thing where he would have every player, we'd meet in the locker room and he'd give every player a note card and he'd have every person write how many minutes they think they should play in a game. And
that's risque.
Obviously, wow. there's only 200 minutes in a game for five players on the court. And he'd always get the note cards back, and it'd be like 500 minutes or something like that. So it was always that conversation of who are the two or three guys playing 35 plus minutes, and then who are the, you know, guys getting 5 to 10 minutes that think they're getting 20 minutes. So it's always finding time on the court for everybody. But yeah, man. Well, good luck with the season. We don't know. I believe Mike is he assistant coaching you with you this year?
Yes. Mike is my assistant coach. So he's in charge of putting the cones down, picking them up. He's in charge of, we use pool noodles for defense right now because we're not allowed to obviously play defense for COVID reasons. So I don't know who taught me this growing up, but I've always, since I've been coaching the last like 5 or 6 years, I've always brought pool noodles to kind of foul my guys, right? We'll do transition drills, we'll do finishing drills at the rim, even contesting shots, and I'll just whack them with pool noodles. And I tell my guys, like, look, the referees aren't perfect. They're probably the least perfect people in the world. And you know that. So because of that, 90% of the calls that you think they should make will not be made. So you have to be able to embrace and play through contact, right? Guys who think that they're going to get that, the and one, or they're going to think the referee sees the hit on the elbow, there's no shot. There's no shot, right? And that's just the way the game is, and that's okay. So we have to be able to embrace that kind of stuff and kind of play through it. So, yeah, I've found ways to get creative to – be COVID safe, but still make sure these guys, you know, are able to play through pressure.
your practice is looking like a Vegas like rave or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 100%, dude. 100%.
Oh, man. It's a pool party.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeesh. well, then, isn't this freshman basketball we're talking?
Hey, Shadow Dose. Yes, it's freshman in college.
Oh, man. Well, I for sure am one that thinks referees are the least perfect human beings on planet Earth. I was notorious. I didn't get a lot of texts, but I would push the line on talking to refs, and giving them shit and calling them out and all that stuff. So, referees were always a hot button for me. That's for sure.
I believe it does. Based off your passive aggressive comms and COD, I can only imagine just the amount of shade you threw under the table. Just like, hey, man, like you would just insult them with a smile on your face. You don't know if you're like serious or not. So
that's pretty much
it. I hate that shit. Hate it. I would tee you up first quarter, dude, before you even tip. Like, hey, that guy's an idiot.
Oh, man. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. Well, let's talk NBA, man. There's a few things kind of top of the radar in the NBA world this morning that we can chat about. And then we'll talk about the playoff race. You know, we're in the final quarter, so to speak, of the season. You know, just a couple months left, and playoff picture is crazy, man. So we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about the NBA awards. You know, there's been the two main ones are MVP and Rookie of the Year that have the most kind of debate around them this year. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And then we'll talk Blazers. Really good game last night against the Celtics. And so we'll talk about that a little bit and see what's realistic for the Blazers. For those of you wondering where Mike Umscheid is, we don't know. Good question. He will hopefully be joining us for the next episode, but nonetheless, it is a Wednesday. Mike has a new puppy, brand new puppy. So he's probably something around being covered in pee and poop and cleaning up after his new dog. So we miss him. We love him. He's still part of the Hoop Rips fam. But the show must go on. So let's talk NBA playoffs. I get stoked looking at just the playoff standings right now, mostly because there's probably 8 teams that you could tell me will make the NBA finals and I wouldn't bat an eye. And I think that's really cool. I think you look at the Suns, the Jazz, the Clippers, the Nets, the Sixers, the Nuggets, the Bucks, and the Lakers. I think you tell me any 2 of those 8 are in the NBA finals, I probably could make an argument that makes sense, which I think is really cool. And I can't think of an NBA season recently that was like that. Some of this has been due to COVID. Some of it's been due to injuries with, you know, Lakers and Sixers and some of the others. But we got 8 teams that are legitimate NBA finals appearances. And then there's maybe a couple Cinderellas. You know, the Atlanta Hawks have been playing well as of late. Which is a big surprise. The Miami Heat have started to step it up a little bit. And then you look at some in the Western Conference, obviously the Blazers are the 6th seed right now, but there's a lot of teams that could get hot and have a fun playoff. So Ryan, when you look at the standings, what stands out to you right now as something that's you're keeping your eye on or you're surprised to see or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny, a lot of our predictions from, you know, previous episodes are kind of holding true, right? I did think that we all agreed that the Jazz would probably hold on to that number one seed, you know, in the back half of the season after All-Star break. And so far they are. However, you know, they're only a game and a half ahead of the Suns in the standings. And it's crazy. I was reading, looking at this meme, I guess, on Instagram the other day, and it was just like, if you're looking to turn around your life, call Chris Paul and have him kind of, you know, come live with you, and he'll turn things around for you. Because it was showing, like, the records of the teams before he had joined that franchise, and it's just insane. I mean, I dislike Chris Paul. I don't know why. I just think he's kind of a dirty player, kind of a whiner. But I have to pay my respect to greatness where it's due, and he's done a hell of a job. I think helping guys in that team, not so much what he's done, but how he's elevated the guys around him, right? Ayton, I thought DeAndre Ayton was kind of heading towards this, like, bust, right, career. Yep. He just was yep. kind of underwhelming the last couple of seasons, but now he's kind of starting to prove himself as a legitimate double-double threat every night. And then obviously Devin Booker is, to me, is going to be an MVP in the next 3 years, maybe 2 years. I just think Devin Booker is, if he can continue to be a playoff on a playoff team with Phoenix, I could see Devin Booker being MVP. But I think overall, kind of to answer your question, if the Lakers, you know, they're kind of falling down a little bit, you know, in the list. Injuries play a huge part in that with LeBron and AD. But, you know, we talked about they don't care where they finish, I think, in right. the standings. They only care about who's going to hold up that Larry O'Brien trophy at the end of the year. They don't care how they get there. It's about what they do when they get there. So I do think they'll kind of stumble into the playoffs, but they're okay because the playoff LeBron is just a different beast. I've seen nothing like him before in my life where he's True. Able to just kind of turn it on and show why he's the best player on the planet. So, you know, the Philadelphia one also has me shook because I still think they're pretenders. Like, I don't see Philadelphia. I'm going to hot take this right now. If Philadelphia doesn't get out of the first round, I'm going to say I told you so. Like, I just feel like you're going to see a different Philadelphia in the playoffs. Who knows? Embiid could get hurt. Like, they're a fragile team, right? And Doc Rivers is still their coach. And I always rip on Doc, and I always will.
I don't know why, man.
He's a great regular season coach, bro. Like, but the playoffs, he has some squads, bro, with the Clippers. We talked, like, right? He had did. Some he fucking squads. And they had Blake Griffin. Exactly. Dunking Blake Griffin, who only dunks now with the Nets. It's weird. He can only dunk with the Nets. But the Hawks I'm excited about only because you mentioned, you know, they're a fourth seed, kind of a sleeper team. I didn't expect them to be a playoff team this year. But I think when they had that
heavy crap. We've thrown some shade at the Hawks all season long.
Yeah.
And to their credit, they've turned it around. You know, coaching Nate change. McMillan. Yeah.
Yes.
Former Blazer coach, but the Hawks have played solid. I think Trae Young is earning a signature shoe, you know, like we've talked about with him getting a signature from Adidas, and he's played really well. If you'd have told me that at this point in the season the Hawks would have a better record than the Celtics, I would have said you're crazy.
Yeah, that's true. I the Celtics looked really good last night, which we'll get into later. But the Celtics are slowly kind of climbing back up. They're fifth right now. That'd be a hell of a first-round matchup, though. Hawks and Celtics. I mean, those four or five matchups are going to be fucking great. You look at Denver. Now, that one's going to be a little bit, you know, hampered because of Jamal Murray getting out, you know, for the season with a torn ACL. But I still think they got that Campazzo guy, who's, I think, their backup point guard.
He's exciting kind of passer. Fun to watch. Dude, he's fun, man. He's like a Manu Ginobili. Like,
yeah, J.J. Barea kind of has like you never know what to expect from that guy. But, you know, he's – so I think they'll be okay, but that'll be a fun crown. You know, Clippers Blazers too would be – that's going to be a sweep. And I can say those things because Mike's not here to defend them.
Oh, Clippers man. Will win at three. Three, wow. Well, there's definitely
forfeit.
I will say, when I look at some of these standings, I'm honestly somewhat surprised at some of the separation we're starting to see in the West. I think a lot of for so much of the first half, it was like all the like 3 through 8 were all tied, and we're starting to see some separation. You know, the top three have separated themselves with Jazz, Suns, and Clippers, and then you start to look like. In the second half of the season, four games is a big jump. And you look at the four games, even from just the 5 to the 7 seed, like that's, you're starting to talk about there's some room there. I think the play-in tournament is really going to be really interesting. I think, I don't know, like you look at college, for example, your Bruins had a play-in game against my Spartans. which we choked and you guys clutched up. But nonetheless, we saw a play. We've seen play-in teams get hot and go on runs. Do you think that this play-in tournament for the NBA will be a similar story? Or is it something that worth NBA, you see load management it being such a big deal? If the Lakers slip into the play-in tournament, a 7 seed for whatever reason.
Oh, that'd be insane.
Is that something that could be good for them with they get hot, you know, they get healthy, they get hot, they get some games back in the play-in tournament. They beat up on, you know, some weaker teams like the Grizzlies and the Mavericks. Or if you're the Lakers, are you like, we got to keep our head above water and stay as far away from that play-in tournament as we can. And we want to rest as much long as we can before we got to play, you know, the Nuggets or whatever.
Yeah, I was going to actually ask you that same question, because if you look at the standings, the Lakers are only 4 games out of 7th, right? And
right.
Those who don't really know kind of the format of the play-in tournament, what happens is 7th seed plays the 8th seed. Winner of that game is guaranteed the 7th seed. 9th seed plays the 10th seed in like an elimination game. Winner of that game will play the loser of the 7-8 game. And then a winner of that last game is 8th seed. So if that made any sense to you, you know, shout out those. But my point to that is I do think – I look at the East, right? You have the Pacers and you have the Bulls in that 9 and 10 spot. Do I think any of those two teams is capable of sneaking in? I don't know. But I guess my question to you, Doz, is if you look at the Western Conference, you have the Spurs and Warriors, and the Pelicans are a game out of 10th. But do you think the Spurs and Warriors, could they run the table and find themselves in the playoffs in that 8th seed?
I think if you look at, you know, 8, 9, and 10, you throw in the Mavericks, that play-in tournament. Mm-hmm. I think you could stack the Warriors up against any of those teams just because of Steph Curry.
It's true. 100%.
We've seen him multiple times this year go for 50. We just saw him pass Wilt on the Warriors' all-time scoring. He's put up a 60 on the Blazers. Like, I don't think you can count them out at all. If they get hot, if Steph can, you know, Steph can win you one game. And on any given night. And if he goes one game against the Spurs, you know, I like the Warriors mainly because of him. And then you talk about having to win a game or two to get to that 8 seed. I don't think that's out of the question at all. So I think you could, that play-in tournament is going to be, you know, anybody beat anybody on any given night. The NBA is filled with talent. So I'm excited to watch that, man. I think that's going to be a fun shakeup. Now we did see Mark Cuban. Did you see, Mark Cuban came out and was saying that this is a massive mistake to do this play-in tournament.
Yeah.
Do you agree with Mark Cuban? Let me pull up his actual quote so we can not misquote.
I do. And I think he even brought it up because, like, I think he meant the season's going to be short already. I think we're playing 72 games instead of 82, right? And so a lot of that is to allow teams extra space on their schedule in case there needs to be a postponement of a game or cancellation of a game. That allows some flexibility with the schedule. But then you put in this play-in tournament and those 4 teams, 7 through 10, they're basically playing an 82-game season, it feels like, right? So it's like, what is the true benefit of playing less games when you're actually making teams play more games? So I don't like the idea of it. It feels very, very college to me. I don't think – I think if you want to make the playoffs competitive and you want to create parity in the NBA, well, I guess it wouldn't be parity because you'd be heavy in the West. But I would love to see a season where you go just top 16 seats out of both conferences and they just go head-to-head, almost like a region in the NCAA tournament, right? One plays 16, two plays 15,
wild.
And so on. And I would love to see that instead. You know, maybe go back to the old format of playoffs, which was like, 5-5, 7-7 in terms of the playoff series duration, right? Like maybe shorten the early rounds, and then when you advance further in the playoffs, you get those 7-game series. And so I would love to see that. I don't think a play-in tournament is gonna, because my opinion, Doz, is that is it really gonna affect the outcome of the playoffs in general? I don't think the 7 through 10 play-in tournament will. I'm not sure what benefit they're doing other than trying new things and adding different kind of competition to the game. But my opinion is if it can't affect the top half of the conference, what's the point? I think as a fan, you know, when UMBC beat Virginia a couple of years ago in that 16-1 matchup, like you love to see it, right? Like, because the top seed in the region was just as at risk as, you know, the number nine seed in that situation. So I love that when every team has a chance to lose. This is just kind of putting four teams in it, and everybody else is kind of like gets off easy. So I don't like the playing tournament. I didn't like it even last year in the bubble because the Grizzlies were complete ass in the bubble, and then all of a sudden they just fall ass backwards into the play-in game, and luckily the Blazers won, and they deserve to. But I just don't think the NBA is quite ready for that yet. I think there's other changes you could pursue, but don't think this is one of them that should live on past the season.
Yeah, it's definitely different. I'm just a fan of watching basketball that has, you know, win or go home implications. So I think you're going to get some exciting games. Mm-hmm. You know, we heard Mark Cuban say it's an enormous mistake. Luka Doncic came out and said that he said, like, you play 72 games and one or two games can send you home. Like, are we seeing the Mavericks maybe sweat this a little bit? They're starting to maybe get a little nervous. Like, oh, shoot, we're going to have to play a tournament. Like, they're a couple games behind the Blazers. The Blazers own the tiebreaker over the Mavericks, so maybe they're starting to prepare playing tournament
excuses. But
yeah, they're like, oh geez, like they're going to be able to say, oh, we said this back in April, this was a bad idea. Like, they're maybe starting to sweat this a little bit. So
I think that's funny though, because like, if they weren't in that position, you think they'd be complaining about it, because last year they were not in that position, and I don't remember anything coming out about Cuban or Doncic talking about how this is a mistake, because they weren't in that situation, right? I would guarantee you, if they're at 6-5-4, even at 6 seed, we'll say that, I don't think they're worried at all. But yeah, because they're going to be potentially affected by this, absolutely they're pissed off. And that's, yep, but that's on them, man. Like, they did to themselves. They had a rough start to the year, man. Like, I thought they were going to miss the playoffs. They were like number 12, you know, in the conference for like about a month. So you kind of have to deal with the consequences of your inconsistent play, in my opinion. Like, that's on him.
We'll see if they can fight it out. Even though if they don't want to play in it, they still have to. So the rules are the rules. I'm very interested. You know, we talk about the West a lot. Obviously, we're on the West Coast, so we have that bias. But I'm very intrigued to see who gets this one seed in the East. You know, we have a tie atop the Eastern Conference right now between the Nets and the Sixers. The Nets have been playing really well, probably playing the best basketball in the East right now. But
an unhealthy Nets, incomplete Nets team. Think about that. Like,
every given night, they usually are missing one of those three. Yeah. Big five.
Seriously, let's call it how it is, dude. Mm-hmm.
And they're tied atop the East. The Bucks are just, you know, three games back. I think that Eastern Conference one seed is going to be a big deal for all of those teams. None of these teams are really, like, except for maybe the Bucks, like, perennial, you know, like the Lakers, where you just get to the playoffs and we'll be fine. You don't really have that in the East. And so I think that standings matter more, and home court advantage matters a lot. And, you know, you're starting to see actually the Sixers are going to start having fans in the next few weeks in their stadium. And so home court could actually start to mean something. And I think you look at the Sixers, you know, you think that they're going to fall apart.
100p.
I think the Nets will probably end up as the one seed, but I think you're going to see the Sixers go balls to the wall to try and get it. I think Embiid is a guy that kind of just wants all the smoke, and he's coming for next. We've seen it this season. He wants a one seed. He wants a finals appearance. He wants MVP. He wants every, you name it, he wants it. So I think you're going to, if he can stay healthy, I think you'll see them put up a good fight. I do ultimately think that you'll see the Nets come out with the one seed. And it's going to be an exciting kind of finish there. So I'm intrigued to see how that one finishes up. It's definitely a close, both conferences are just three games separating the 1-3 seeds. So we don't talk about the Clippers a lot, but they're staying relevant. But we would be doing our listeners a disservice if we did not talk about the Phoenix Suns. You know, we mentioned them a little bit. We mentioned Booker a little bit, but, and CP3, these guys, I think we've all been waiting for one of either the Jazz or the Suns to come back down to earth a little bit. And neither team has, you know, the Suns just had a massive statement win against the Jazz recently, where I think Chris Paul had like 30 points or something like that. And if CP3 stays healthy, you're going to see them, I think, be a legitimate contender. I think right now that there's like a, I think it was like Basketball Reference or whatever had them as like a 17% chance to make it to the Western Conference Finals or something. So they're legit. Do you, how about this? Who do you take going deeper in the playoffs, the Suns or the Jazz at this point in time?
I think the Jazz, I think they're built for it, you know, and I think because they have the experience in the previous couple seasons, they've been a playoff team, you know, I think every year under Quinn Snyder, who I love Quinn Snyder as a coach, and I think he gets his boys ready to play every fucking night, you know what I mean? So I do think I can see the Jazz going deeper. Not so much I can see. I really am confident that they will go deeper. The Suns, this is kind of their first year as a contender. And honestly, it's kind of just happened overnight. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if, you know, they're quite ready for that kind of run. But to your point, it's basketball, right? And the ball's going to be rolled out into the court. Both teams got to play, right? And so, you know, CP3's never been to an NBA Finals, right? He's been to a few conference finals, but never been to the NBA Finals. And I think this year, which is weird to think about, of all the years, this might be one of his best years or best opportunities to achieve that, just given the success they've had. And I do think in the Western Conference, there is a lot of parity. I don't think there's a huge gap in talent from one team to the next. Everybody has a solid two or three player, you know, monster that goes out every night and dominates. So I think, you know, CP3 has that. They're a super young team, but I think that plays to their advantage because that team plays hard, man. I watch Cam Johnson going, you know, full court defense, you know, misses a shot, runs all the way back, contests a shot, blocks it at the rim, gets back out in transition, goes to the wing for three. Like, those guys fucking hustle. And yep. we're in the NBA, hustle and NBA don't often go together unless you're playing for a coach like Thibodeau, right? You know, good old Tibbs out there and with the Knicks.
Yes.
You know, not a lot of coaches demand that from their players. And when they do demand it, it actually probably creates friction over friendship, you know. But I do think the Suns are playing well under Monty Williams, which I'm happy for Monty, obviously, given all he's been through. So really just happy for that team. But I do see the Jazz going further. My prediction for the Western Conference Finals is going to be – if it ends today, it's going to be crazy because the Lakers are a 5 seed, right? So, like, they could play the Jazz early on. But, you know, let's just assume the Lakers –
Everybody's healthy.
Everybody's healthy. If everybody's healthy, then it's going to be probably – fuck, man.
Like, if it ended right now, and then magically every team was healthy,
God,
who are you putting in the finals?
I think it's going to – I mean, if I'm going based off just the Western Conference Finals, just given how the brackets work out, because the Jazz would play the 4 and 5 matchup next, I would say Lakers and probably fucking the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals, because I could see the Clippers beating the Suns in that 2-3 matchup. Then I could see the Lakers beating the Jazz in the 1-4, or 1-5. That would be my prediction. I don't want that. I don't like either team, but I do think that's what we're headed towards. Both teams are healthy. Rondo is a huge difference maker. Bringing him in for the Clippers is huge. Like, he's a legitimate point guard. He's won championships. Like, that's a big, big win that the Clippers had with the trade deadline. So, and that has to be considered when it comes to, you know, playoffs and stuff like that. But what do you think? My crazy does?
No, I don't think you're crazy. I think, you know, it's those four teams. It's the Jazz, Suns, Clippers, Lakers. I think you bring up a really good point in thinking about the bracket, the fact that the Clippers probably are going to have an easier road. If all things stay the same, the Clippers probably get an easier road because they're going to be fighting teams like the Blazers, the Nuggets, the Mavericks, et cetera. The Suns, Jazz, and Lakers all got to beat each other up to some extent. So I think it's interesting. I think, I don't know, man, I'm going to pull for the Jazz, man. I'm saying Jazz are going to make it out. They'll beat the Lakers. Jazz Clippers will be my Western Conference Finals. I don't know. I'm excited for it. But again, we're doing a disservice to the Suns, who are the hottest team. They've won like 15 of their last 19 games. So like, who knows, man? It's going to be crazy, but I like the Jazz a lot. They're healthy. They've been there. They've took their bumps in the playoffs and lost before. They got a big chip on their shoulder. I think the Suns are maybe a year or two away from, like you said, having an MVP Booker and a team that's been through some playoff trials. So I like the Jazz for sure to make it to the Western Conference Finals. My question is, how far, if at all, do you think the Nuggets are going to fall? Because that could shake things up with Jamal Murray tearing his ACL. Obviously, they have, you know, in my opinion, the MVP right now in Jokic.
They have
him putting up triple doubles on every given night. But they have all of a sudden lost Jamal Murray for the season, who is one of the best playmaking point guards, you know, out there. And a guy who we saw in the bubble hit big shot after big shot after big shot. I don't know. Do you think that can we see the Nuggets slip? You know, all of a sudden the 4-5 could be the Blazers, Lakers, and Nuggets are hanging on to the 6th seed or something like that. You know, that could be a big shakeup.
I think how they finish the season is going to truly determine Jokic's MVP, you know, outcome, right? In terms of if they have a solid end of the season, they finish the top 4 seed, you know, stop the bleeding, you know, from losing, you know, Jamal Murray, then it's unquestionably his award, right? Like, I think that's 100% a fact. If they do drop to a 5, 6, even 7, then the doors open a little bit for debate, you know, between like a Joel Embiid or a Dame, right? I still think Dame is the top 3 MVP candidate. Just looking at the body of work he's done this season and overall, they've been kind of struggling a bit against good teams lately, but we'll get into that later. But overall, I think the Nuggets are going to fall. I really do. I just think every team in this league that's going to be successful has to have a guard that is fucking dominant, that's an alpha male, that can hit big shots, you know. And you look at, you know, a lot of the point guards, you got CP3 and Suns, you got Mitchell and Conley for the Jazz, you know, and you got, I like Schroeder a lot for the Lakers. I thought Schroeder was awesome in Atlanta and OKC, and I think he's an underrated point guard. But my point is, you know, who's going to be that guy, right? And we joked about, you know, that Campazzo guy, but, you know, is he going to be the a suitable backup for Jamal Murray for 30 minutes a game, 30 minutes a game? I don't know. I don't think he'll be able to fill the void. So I do think a point guard, a legitimate point guard is needed to be a successful in the NBA and in the playoffs. And I don't think the Nuggets have that anymore. So they're going to drop, unfortunately, which is going to be unfortunate for Jokic and his MVP, you know, candidacy.
Yeah.
That's probably a butt take.
I mean, you might see, I think he's still going to win it. You'll probably see his numbers, you know, he'll continue to put up crazy triple doubles. And I think they're still a playoff team. So you talk about his numbers and being in the playoffs. I do think if you see, you know, if you see the Sixers somehow out-duel the Nets for the 1 seed in the East, you'll probably see Embiid get some first place votes. At any point in time, any one of the Nets players has been an MVP candidate. So that'll be interesting. So let's move into that. Let's talk about awards. Let's talk about who our picks are for MVP, Rookie of the Year, and such. So we just talked with MVP. I gave my choice. I think it's Jokic as of now. I think he'll continue. I think he'll lead the Nuggets to the playoffs. He's a clear favorite in my opinion right now, having led them to the 4 seed. Who's your pick right now for MVP?
Yeah, I would agree. I think he's had the best overall season. He's played so consistent in terms of, you know, he puts up numbers every single night, and it's translating to wins for his team. So right now it's his award to lose. And, I like to think it's a lock for him, but at the same time, I do think the door could be left open if they start to tumble. And because right now he's always been the guy, but right now he's the only guy, right? Like, so what does that mean for him? So I think he's my lock to win it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's probably where we're both at. Like it sounds like we're both there. You know, there's been a lot of injuries in these Embiid's missed time this year. LeBron has missed time this year. Harden, Durant, Kyrie, they've all these guys who have been in the conversation at one point have started to miss time. And Jokic has been that constant. You know, there was a minute where Dame squeaked into the conversation. He's cooled off quite a bit over the past, you know, week or two. So I think it's Jokic's. I think, you know, like I said, if Embiid stays healthy the rest of the year and makes a Eastern Conference 1 seed run and you see the Nuggets slip, I think that's probably your only window for that to change up. So Jokic, clear favorite for Hoop Rips. What about Rookie of the Year? This is a really interesting one. Obviously, we all thought it was going to be LaMelo's and run away with it. He certainly did run away with it prior to his injury. and kind of perfect timing. As soon as he got hurt, we've seen Anthony Edwards mm-hmm. put up one of the most disrespectful dunks I've ever seen. He's put up a 40 bomb. We've seen him start to ball out and play some of the best basketball of the season. So is the door open there? If you got a vote right now, are you still giving the first place vote to LaMelo? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, my vote's still going to LaMelo, and a lot of it is because of how his team has played this season. As of right now, they are a playoff team, right? And I think LaMelo has a lot to do with that. Unfortunately for Minnesota, they are far from a playoff team and arguably may never be one ever again. It just feels like the days of when they had the KG and Marbury and Terrell Brandon, you know, back when they were playing the Blazers, I feel like in the first round of every playoffs for a few years in the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, that is, we are far from that. So I think Edwards is having a really solid season, but you know, the door is open also for LaMelo to come back. It sounds like there is a possibility he may come back before the season ends, as soon as next month, which is huge. If they can get him back for the end of the season, if not for the playoffs, then, you know, not saying that the playoffs have a factor on the Rookie of the Year races, but I think him coming back would solidify it for sure. If he comes back and plays at least one more game, it's 100%.
At least one game.
I think it's his. He's just has had the biggest impact, and it's hard to deny that.
I think there's also something to potentially be said about the impact of just like, I don't know, man, like, I don't even know how to say it, but like him being there and showing like the team some of the fun and talent that they have. Like he makes other guys better. He is a conduit for highlight plays and guys jumping off the bench at alley-oops and crazy passes and all that. Like there's a lot of excitement. And I think that probably has lifted the culture in Charlotte to some extent and made that team a lot more fun to play for. So there's definitely something to be said that even while he's injured, what he's done in the first 40 games of the season, was pretty massive for that team. So, and I think you're seeing them play with a little more confidence, probably due to the fact that LaMelo has sparked that team to some extent. So there's other guys there playing well, but LaMelo was certainly a major factor in that. So I like LaMelo too. I think Edwards is a really freaking talented player. I think he's a stud. It's a bummer he's on Minnesota, but he's certainly a guy to keep your eye on as he continues to grow up. So, yeah. What about any other awards you want to highlight or talk about? Or I think those are definitely the ones with the most maybe debate right now. We seem to agree, but there's a lot of conversation around those two awards. I think you look at the other ones, there's a lot of names you can throw in there. Defensive Player of the Year has been a big conversation. Rudy's the kind of top choice right now, but any other awards you want to hit on before we jump into Blazers?
No, I mean, I think about Coach of the Year, you know, it could go to a variety of guys. Right. And, but right now it's kind of a two man race between, I think, Monty Williams and Quinn Snyder. I think those two guys deserve it.
No love for Doc.
Unquestionably. No love for Doc. No love for Doc. Based on who Doc has in his team, right, it's a kind of a similar thing. He has a solid lineup, right? Like, I mean, I would say, like, he has probably more star-studded players than the Jazz do. He's got Simmons. He's got Tobias Harris. He's got Joel Embiid, obviously. You know what I mean? He's got a decent, backup core and Curry and Green and Howard. So I think he's got enough tools to where they're playing how they're supposed to play. But the Jazz, man, they're just kind of like those underdogs that – are always doubted, yeah. Man. Like Mitchell, like they've almost embraced, yeah, they've embraced Mitchell's persona of kind of being the overlooked underdog. And I feel like that team is playing like the overlooked underdog, which is insane. Like I love seeing that. So yeah, to me, it's going to come down to one of those two, but I would lean towards Quinn Snyder because I think he's an X's and O's guys kind of guy. And I think it's clear. I think he makes in-game adjustments extremely well. Not something you see from other coaches in the league. Shout out Mike, shout out Zers, shout out Stotts. So, you know, before we get into that, I will say, yeah, Coach of the Year 100% is going to one of those two guys, but I would pick Quinn Snyder. No cap.
Give it to Monty, man. Give it to Monty Williams. Come on. Yeah, man. It's definitely one of those two. So, but MVP, Rookie of the Year, those are the most exciting ones, in my opinion, the ones we're going to keep our eyes on. But it sounds like we're in agreement here on a lot of these, which is rare,
yeah.
Which is very rare. Normally it's me and Mike that agree, and Ryan just stirring the pot. So when Mike is gone, it's just all we're just all roses over here at Hoop Rips.
Well, we had a dub last night, Doz, in Call of Duty. So let's not – that has a lot to do with it. It has a lot to do with how we're feeling today.
How dare we forget? We got a dub in Warzone last night.
Big win. Great vibes. Clutch plays. I mean, it just was a great game.
So we're waking up feeling happy. Speaking of dubs and someone that hasn't gotten a dub in a long time, Mike Umscheid and his Blazers took an L last night. That was a good game. Blazers Celtics. Celtics are, you know, a team that's been up and down this year, but has some talent. What were your thoughts on this game? Ended up coming down to the final play. You know, Jason Tatum hit the shot, his patented sidestep three over CJ for the icing, shot, icing on the cake, so to speak. But it was a good game. What were your thoughts?
I mean, every time Tatum does something great, it makes us money, right, because of that card we pulled. So I'm always going to root for Tatum. Last night, no different. Love seeing it. You know, it was one of those games. And I actually watched almost the whole thing. I went out with a couple of buddies last night to catch up, and we were watching it at this restaurant thing. And it was on this big – we were, like, so close to it. And I was the only guy, like, shitting on the Blazers out of all of us. And they were like, come on, man. Got to be a fucking homer, dude. You're from Portland. I'm like, no. I live in Portland. I'm not from here. Okay, I have no allegiance to P-Town. Okay, so anyways, the Blazers, they had a good start, good first quarter, right? And they were looking like Melo. I mean, Melo had a great game, I think, overall. Melo was awesome, I thought. But it's just crazy that, like, and Mike brings up a lot, like, the Blazers just can't, like, maintain a lead. It's like an 8-point lead or whatever it was, you know, even double digits. Like, it means nothing in the NBA. But the Blazers, it happens to the Blazers more than any other team, I feel like, in the league. They just squander these opportunities. And then all of a sudden, you know, CJ had his kind of night that I make fun of him about. He was 6 for 19 from the field. Like, we saw classic CJ just throwing up anything and everything. And Dame wasn't very efficient. I think Dame shot like 35%. I think he went like 9 for 22 or 23 from the field. So overall, I just think the Blazers kind of choked a little bit down the stretch. And Tatum's a fucking stud. He's another guy who's going to win MVP in the next few years. So, like, you know, that's a good lineup that they had too. Robert Williams, Tatum, you know, Smart, Walker. I mean, that's a solid lineup. Like, the Celtics can run with that, and they can actually make a decent run in the playoffs. Those trades they did during the last couple of weeks or last month were, I think, helped them big time. So it just sucks the Blazers. They need to be able to win these games, man. And Dame even said, I think, last week or something, he's like, it's clear. He's like, you don't need to be a fucking genius to see that we're not beating the teams we should be beating. Like, we're struggling against teams that are some of the top in the conference. You know, my interpretation of what we said, but I think he's right. Like, they got to find a way to beat these good teams, because if you can't beat them now, there's no way you're going to beat them in the playoffs. There's no way. Like, you got to find a way to win now. And I don't know. I don't know, man. I mean, Melo was great off the bench. Kander was solid, almost had a double-double, you know. But other than that, though, like, it just feels like the Blazers are super top-heavy. So, you know, love Powell, you know. But I just think the Celtics they're studs, man. They're gamers. They're built for those kind of moments, you know what I mean? Better coach team, in my opinion, too, with Brad Stevens. So
Brad Stevens is one of the best coaches in the league, though. So that's no surprise. I mean, we've seen them lose now to the Heat and the Celtics and the Jazz and the Clippers. Like, the last four losses we've had have been against teams that are going to be in the playoffs, and we haven't really showed up. Last night, I will say, was probably one of the more encouraging games as far as losses go. I think even Dame came out and said that he liked the Blazers' energy all around. The Blazers just struggle with turnovers, man. They have a lot of turnovers. We've definitely seen their efficiency woes at times, to your point. But I am an eternal optimist. I'm always too optimistic. And I was encouraged by some of the Nurkic play that I saw in flashes. I know he's on a minutes restriction to some extent, but I was encouraged by some of his play. You know, a lot can be said about Norman Powell's arrival and if it was the right move or wrong move. But nonetheless, I think he does bring a solid presence to the team, you know, one of your Bruins. But this team's got, you know, has had a lot of newness and a lot of change and a lot of injury. We're finally feeling like this is, you're starting to see maybe the roster at least that you're going to have in the playoffs. So this fourth quarter of the season, I would like to see the Blazers start to continue that offensive rhythm that we saw last night. You know, and potentially start getting some better connection around some of these guys that have never played together before, you know, outside of practice. So, I think you'll see the Blazers pick it up. I really do. I think looking ahead, you know, we got the Spurs on Friday. We get another shot at the Clippers. So I think that'll be a good statement huge. Win if we can beat the Clippers. If we can rattle off a couple wins here, we got the Hornets coming up, who we should beat. The Nuggets will be interesting, you know, to see if Dame can go off against a guy like Campazzo guarding him. So I like the Blazers to maybe rattle off, you know, seven of their next eight games, maybe get hot for a little bit, and then come into a game like that Nets game down the line and maybe have had a handful of wins in a row under the belt and see where they stack up against the best team in the East. So I'm excited for this next stretch. I think this is a really crucial next 10 games for the Blazers. If they can win eight of these next 10, I think you'll see that'll set the tone for the playoffs for them. But if they continue to turn the ball over, you know, shoot 20% from three or whatever it is, I think you'll see the Blazers find themselves potentially in a play-in tournament. So that's kind of my Blazers take right now.
Would love to see that. Would love to see them in the play-in tournament.
Shout out, Mike Blazers. Come on, Zers. Come on, man.
Their cheeks, dude. Their cheeks. I think 5-5, last 10.
We need to save the Blazers. Go ahead. We need to save this text from Mike that we got. I think you said the Blazers are trash. Where is it? I said Blazers are ass.
It's taken Mike many years to put those words together, and I'm proud of him. I'm proud of him for seeing what I've always seen. Maybe one day he'll realize that they're just never going to win a championship ever again.
I think that was against the Heat The Heat are a team we should beat. Absolutely. Especially
are they though? Because they're
yes.
I mean, that's a good. No,
I know
way.
They went to the final. I know they went to the finals.
No, I'm talking about
they
that.
Have not been the same Heat, man. They have not.
Right, but like still, the Heat at their best are a way better team than Portland. 100%. Am I
way
like,
better?
100,000%. The Heat are head and shoulders above the Blazers when fully healthy, especially with Depot now. Like, I get Depot's always fucking hurt, but like, that's a way better team, dude. Like, from top to bottom, there's no shot. Like, I get the Blazers already beat them in Miami, you know, a few weeks ago, which was, I think, a big win for the Blazers. I thought that was overlooked as a big win. That's a huge win. That's an upset, in my opinion. The Heat, better coached. Right, they got better players, they're more well-rounded, they play fucking defense. That's another thing that we need to talk about with the Blazers. Blazers, they are a team that doesn't believe in boxing out. They think, Tanner, we'll get the rebounds. They want to just run and gun. Like, they don't even care about the defense. They're already thinking about their next offensive possession. By the time they realize they're on defense, it's a backdoor alley-oop, right? Or back cut to the rim, baseline. Blazers get caught looking.
I mean, that Heat game was ugly, man. They held us to 98 points.
That's crazy. That sucks. I couldn't get my kid free nuggets the next day. That's fucked up.
No nuggets. CJ was 7 for 18.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. So, CJ, we've had a lot of guys that it's been an up and down season. Like I said, this is the first we got a stretch here where we're healthy. Nurk's back. We got Powell in the lineup. CJ's back. Like, let's see what this team is made of right now against, you know, we got a stretch here where we're going to face some good teams. Let's win 10 of our next 15, 10 of our next 13 games, get a couple statement wins against, you know, Clippers and Nets. And that's just me being super optimistic, but I think they can do it. I think to your point, they got to play defense. They've shown spurts. You know, they've shown times in games where they can decide to play some D.
Yeah, it's true.
But it's to your point, it's way too few and far between. And it's just not consistent at all. So, yeah, man, we'll see. I think the Blazers' next few games are big. They have an opportunity with the Nuggets losing Jamal to maybe squeak into a top 4 or 5 seed and distance themselves from the dreaded play-in tournament. But I think it's going to come down to can they step up and defend in the second half of games when they need to? And can they make shots they need to make? That's probably obvious. But last night, Dame had a mid-range jumper that would have given them the lead with 30 seconds left, and he missed it. And, yeah, he makes a lot of those shots in the grand scheme of things.
He makes
a vast majority of those shots. If he makes that last night, the Celtics come down by one, and it's a completely different story. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. Norman Powell has had some solid games. He's put up 30 points once. He had 20 last night. You know, he had 17 against the Heat. So I think you're seeing some good contributions from other players. Enes has been great. You hope to see Nurkic come back. So yeah, I don't know. I'm an optimist. I like this Blazers lineup. I think they can be good. I think they can get out of the first round of the playoffs if they're hot. But again, they're going to probably run into a team like the Clippers, who are very silently one of the top teams in the league.
I agree. If everybody plays for the Clippers, that'll be a really good test for the Blazers. But, I mean, for example, tonight the Nets are playing the Sixers, right? Big matchup. But
yes.
KD's not playing. Harden's not playing. Aldridge is not playing. And Griffin's not playing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, that sucks as a fan because, you know, you want to see those two go head-to-head. But even still, I think the Nets win. I think I do.
All right.
I think they're moody.
It's a bummer, man. It feels like, I mean, we've seen even TNT start to drop games because of guys not playing. Like, they dropped a Laker game. Like, injuries have been very apparent this year, but also load management has been, you know, rearing its head, and COVID. Like, we've had a lot of primetime matchups robbed from us, some huge games robbed from us, which is a bummer. You hate to see that. So, hopefully the playoffs are a different story and everyone can just – let's just get healthy. Everyone get healthy. Bring your best to the playoffs and let's rage in the playoffs.
Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go. Oh, man. Well, hey, Ryan, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for being here. I appreciate you making the time. The pod is back. Hoop Rips, season two. Season two, episode one. We got a dub last night. Mike didn't. We got Rax.
Hello.
Oh, we got LaMelo. Some racks.
Love. Rated rookie, Don Russ, LaMelo. Great. Well, yeah. Well, PSA is not accepting submissions right now. They're on hold. They're so backed up. And BGS, same thing. So I have about 150 cards waiting to be sent out. There's this new one I've been going to called CSG. They actually do comic books in terms of they do comic book grading, all that stuff, Pokemon cards, Yu-Gi-Oh!, but they're getting heavy in the sports cards. And I do think those other smaller brands are going to start to come to the top of as far as quality and credibility, because brands like PSA just can't keep up with the demand. So anyways, that's my take on cards for today. We'll get into that next time for sure.
Yes, next time. But thank you for being here, Hoop Rips. Make sure you hit that follow button, subscribe, like the channel, all those things. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple. We're on YouTube. We're on Instagram. Hit us up. Follow your boys, Hoop Rip, Season 2, Episode 1. See you later.